Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
We're in the eighth week of the sermon series, Boldness. Everyone say boldness. Just a short recap. Through this series, we're looking at some of the bold men and women of the Bible and their moments of boldness. From slaying giants, facing kings, standing for truth, to risking their lives. And believers' life will require moments such as these. And when it does, I pray you respond in boldness, not in weakness, because you are bold believers. In fact, you have the boldness of a lion. The Bible says that. In Proverbs 28:1, the theme verse for this series says, you have the boldness of a lion. How many have the boldness of a lion this morning? Come on, if you do, make some noise. Thank you. Turn to your neighbor and give them your loudest roar. Wow. Listen, not your Katy Perry roar. You're a lion, not a tiger. Today we're going to look at another moment of boldness in David's life. This moment occurred about 15 years after David defeated Goliath. 15 years. So David was probably in his 30s. How many are in their 30s? Let me see your hands. Come on, be honest, ma'am. You're in church. This moment occurred right after David was anointed as king. Because after being anointed with purpose, you will always face a moment of choice. Let me say that again. I said, after being anointed with purpose, you will always face a moment of choice to either respond in boldness or in weakness. And when you do, I pray that you respond in boldness. David was standing in that moment. Some of you are standing in that moment today. Some of you are unknowingly standing in that moment. I wonder how many online are unknowingly standing in that moment. A moment of choice to either respond in boldness or in weakness. See, boldness leads to your purpose while weakness leads you away from your purpose. Boldness accepts the plans of God while weakness rejects them. In Deuteronomy 12:5, the Bible says, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. And to that place you must go. Church, there's a place that God is calling us to. It's a place of purpose and a place of promise. It's a place of protection and a place of provision. See, where God leads, he proceeds. Where he takes you, he'll never forsake you. Where he places you, he protects you. And where he guides, he provides. Because he's faithful. He's leading us to a place of purpose and a place of promise. And this place of purpose and this place of promise is God's plans for our life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for success, not for failure. Plans to give you a hope and a future, not to harm you. Church, this is a promise of God. Your life has a purpose, and that's a promise of God. My prayer is that I live out my purpose in life. I pray that my kids live out their purpose in life. Your pastor's prayer is that you live out your purpose, church. Your life has a purpose and thus a promise. A promise that we have to believe to receive. A promise that we have to step into and stand on. Remember, the Bible says to that place, you must go. To the place of purpose, place of promise. And you should remember the words in Joshua where God told Joshua that everywhere he had the faith to go, God would give him. Every place that he had the faith to step into and to stand on, God would give him that place. Believers, wherever you have the faith to go, guess what? You will go according to the word of God. If you know this story, you know that God was calling Moses and Joshua and all of the Israelites to the promised land. You know the place flowing with milk and honey? The promised land. The promised land was their place of purpose. And like Moses and Joshua, God is calling us to a place of purpose. And this place of purpose is our promised land. The title of my sermon today is The Promised Land. Turn to your neighbor and say, the promised land. And I want to pick up in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." The Amplified says, "Even the weakest among us will turn you away." They thought, David cannot get in here because the walls are impassable. But what seems impassable or impossible is possible with God. Amen? Amen. Verse 7, nevertheless, everyone say, nevertheless. David captured the fortress of Zion, praise God, which is the city of David. On that day, David had said, anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind Jebusites, who are David's enemies. That is why they say the blind and the lame will not enter the palace. David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the City of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Can we pray? Father, I thank you again for this word. God, I pray for an anointing like never before to deliver your word to your people this morning. This is your moment to speak to each and every person in the congregation and those viewing online and those who will view at a later time. God, anoint every word from the beginning to the end, every scripture, every point, every illustration. God, the very end of the sermon, I pray you would anoint the altars this morning and they would be packed full of people responding to your word today. And so, Father, again, I ask that you would anoint the deliverer and the receiver. Anoint every eye, every ear, every mind, every heart today. And we're ready to receive from your word. Speak, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Church, David was basically standing before an unfulfilled promise from generations that had been passed down from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses to Joshua. And you can see how this place of promise could have become a place of doubt. Maybe you feel the same today. Maybe your place of promise has become a place of doubt. You've been passed over too many times. Instead of moving closer to the promise, it seems like you're moving further and further and further away. You were demoted instead of promoted. Instead of restoration in your marriage, you got a divorce. Or maybe you're leaning towards a divorce today. Instead of everything working out, maybe everything has fallen apart and your place of promise has become a place of doubt. I want to share a struggle of my own. For 7 years, I've been praying for a house with acreage. And some of you might be thinking, well, that's not a real struggle, Pastor. That's just a desire. No, it's not just a desire. This was a promise that God spoke to me in 2014. And so for 7 years, I've been praying and waiting for a house with acreage. I've been waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. And I would say I've been very patient with God, as if he works on my timetable, right? Come on, I'm just speaking what some of you are thinking. But the number 7 is supposed to mean the number of completion, right? So I'm praying that it's completed and fulfilled this year. It's been 7 years that we've been praying and waiting on this. How many would agree that 7 years is a long waiting season? If it was your 7 years, you'd be agreeing right now, right? 7 years is a long waiting season. And to be real with you, one of the reasons why it's such a struggle for me is because I grew up a country boy. And so you got a country boy living in a subdivision, which doesn't mix. There is no real privacy. Less than 10 feet separates our houses, which to me feels like living in an apartment. And I don't do well with that. Not to mention all of the HOA requirements. Listen, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. How many know what I'm talking about? There's a few country folk in the house today. And in 2014, God promised me a house with acreage. And he spoke this verse to me, Matthew 19:29. I want to share it with you. Anyone who gives up his home, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or property to follow me shall receive 100 times as much in return. Church, this is the story of my life. Once I graduated high school, I gave up my hometown. I gave up my childhood home. I gave up my brothers. I gave up my parents to follow the plans of God. And it's taken me all over the United States, serving, seeking the will of God. And to be real with you, it's been a great sacrifice. But not just for me, but for my wife, and especially for my kids. My kids don't know what it's like to grow up with grandparents that are involved in their everyday life. They don't know what it's like to have a favorite aunt or uncle, or to grow up with cousins. So for us, ministry has been a struggle. A great struggle, a great sacrifice. But at the same time, it's been a great blessing. Because God has greatly blessed us for the sacrifices that we have made for ministry. We're just still waiting on the house with acreage, right? But God is faithful. Amen. This has been our prayer request for 7 years. In fact, a few years back, I wrote that prayer request on this piece of paper. And I dropped it on the floor, and I stood on it like this. And I prayed Joshua 1:3. And it says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. Church, this is the promised land. And this is that piece of paper. Right now, I want you to take your piece of paper and I want you to write a promise of God on it. Something that God has spoke to you, promised to you. Something that was spoken over your life. And it could be when you were a teenager, when you were a child. Write down a promise that God has promised you. See, mine is a house with acreage. That's my promised land. What is yours? Restoration in your marriage, healing in your body. A job promotion, a position in ministry, whatever it is, go ahead and write it down right now. And you can fold it. We're going to come back to it in just a little bit. Just days after writing this prayer request and standing on it, a house came available. A house that seemed like it was the perfect house for us. It had everything we were praying for, all the features. It had enough bedrooms for all of our many kids. It was the right size. Did I mention it had acreage? And so we made an appointment to go see the house. We went early. We prayed over the house. We literally marched around the house 7 times, quoting and praying Joshua 1:3 before the realtor got there because we didn't want to look crazy. But how many know we got crazy faith? And so I took the piece of paper along with the brochure of the house. I folded it and I put it under my pillow and I prayed over it nightly. I thought, surely this was the house. Some way, somehow, God is going to work this out. But church, he didn't work it out. And so you can see how our faith, our place of promise could have become a place of doubt. I've been searching, like I said, for 7 years. I've got realtors looking for me, but they've all told me the same thing. Joseph, everyone's looking for a house with acreage for cheap. I know, but what you don't know is God promised me a house with acreage. So I'm going to hold on to the promise regardless of your doubt. Amen? I'm going to continue to hold on to the promise. It seems like every time a house with acreage comes available, it's either way out of our price range or it sells within minutes. Just like that. Last week, I took JoJo on a motorcycle ride, and we went up Lois Hills Scenic Byway. How many know going towards Glenwood? And we spotted a for sale by owner sign. And so it was right by the Danielson's property. When we got home, I contacted Fertrina. Fertrina went and checked it out for me. She gave me the address. She said, good news, they just put the sign up today. And so I pulled it up online, and it said pending. Church, that house sold within 17 minutes. Not 17 days, 17 minutes. And that's been the story for almost every house that I've been interested in. But I'm going to tell you what I've told the realtors. I'm going to continue to hold on to the promise because God has a plan. Believers, continue to hold on to the promise because God has a plan for your life. Whatever that promise that he has spoke to you over your life, made to you, hold on to it because he will work it out his way in his timing in his day. Not yours, his. So wait on it. I'm going to hold on to the promise because the promise maker is the promise keeper. I said the promise maker is the promise keeper. And your waiting isn't wasted. A delay doesn't mean a denial. Somehow, some way, somewhere, God will do what he said he would do. Romans 9:5 says that. Let's go to verse 6. The Jebusite said to David, you will not get in here. The blind and the lame, even the weakest among us, will turn you away. They thought David cannot come in here because the walls are impassable. They said to David, you'll never get into here. And maybe your doubt is saying the same thing to you today. You will never get into here. You will never get into the promised land. You will never get healing in your body, Joel. You'll never get restoration in your marriage, ma'am. You will never get into here. You'll never get into the promised land. Point number one, doubt prevents God's promises. I said doubt prevents the promises of God. David was standing before an unfulfilled promise. And David could have doubted the promise of God. David could have thought, God, you promised this to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. You promised this to Moses and to Aaron, and if it didn't happen for them, it's not happening for me. I mean, think about it, church. He promised it to Abraham and Moses, yet it wasn't fulfilled. They didn't receive the promise, not in their lifetime. Now think about it. Abraham was called the father of what? Of faith. He was called the father of faith. Hello! Yet he didn't receive the promise. Moses might as well just had a halo because he was a holy dude, right? He had a meeting with a burning bush. His face shined like the sun at times. Couldn't even look at him. Yet they didn't receive the promise. And that could have caused doubt for David. Just like the last 10 houses that we've looked at could have caused doubt for us. Has waiting caused you to doubt that the promise of God will ever come through for you? Remember, doubt prevents God's promises. They said, David, there is no way you are getting into the promised land. Satan will say the same thing to you. There's no way. No way it will ever work out. No way it will ever happen for you. Someone else maybe, but not you. No way. How many's ever heard no way before? But remember, faith says some way. Somehow. Somewhere. So hold on to faith when the enemy begins to whisper, no way. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says that all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter amen. This means some way, somehow, somewhere, God will work it out in his timing. God's promises hasn't changed. What God promised you will be done in his time, in his way. How many have faith to utter amen this morning? Amen means so be it. But listen how the Passion Translation puts it. For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him. And as his yes and our amen ascend to God, we bring him glory. Amen means yes. Can somebody say amen? And if you believe it, will you shout amen? Amen in the Aramaic means that's right. Oh, come on, somebody shout, that's right, Pastor. The Message Bible says whatever God has promised gets stamped with yes. Praise God, hallelujah. Right now, I want you to write amen on the bottom of your paper. Stamp yes on your promise. And that is why we utter amen. But utter doesn't just mean saying amen, yes, or that's right. It means believing what you're saying. It means believing what you're praying, believer. Point number two, saying amen is believing what you're praying. Saying amen is believing what you're praying. Amen is a declaration of faith in the promises of God. Amen is, yes, I believe it. That's right, Pastor. That's right. It will happen. It will take place. And so if doubt prevents, faith must fulfill. Well, come on, church. I said if doubt prevents the word of God or the promises of God, faith must fulfill the promises of God. I wonder if you walked in with doubt this morning. I wonder how many walked in with doubt. I wonder if there was doubt in your mind and in your heart when you wrote down on your piece of paper. Come on, how many, don't raise your hand, but how many would be real with God in this moment and say, yeah, there was a little doubt, but I chose to write it because I'm going to hold on to faith. Even when it seems impossible, I know that you are the God of possibilities. You are the God of the impossible. And you will somehow, some way, work it out. So if doubt prevents, faith fulfills. There's a time to pray over the promise of God. And there's a time to wait on the promise of God. But there comes a time when praying and waiting is over, church. There comes a time where we have to step into the promises of God. And David was standing in that time. David prayed. David waited. But in verse 7 in the Message Bible, it says he went straight ahead. He went right ahead. David stepped into the promise of God by faith. David stepped into the promised land by faith. The promised land, remember, that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Joshua. David stepped into it by faith. It's going to take the same faith for you to step into the promise of God. It's God's will that you possess the promise. Come on, some of you need to tell yourself that over and over daily. It is God's will that I possess the promise. In the contemporary English version, it says, only people who can walk and see are allowed in. People who can walk and see by faith. Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. The world says, I have to see it to believe it. But faith says, I'll see it when I believe it. Point number three, it takes faith to possess the promise. Romans 4:16 says, the promises come by faith. Church, every promise of God comes by faith. What he wrote or what he spoke over your life, what you wrote on this piece of paper will come by faith and only by faith. What you believe, you receive. What you fail to believe, you fail to receive. At times, we've all lacked faith, right? On several occasions, Jesus rebuked the disciples. We're talking about Jesus' closest followers for their lack of faith. How many's ever had a lack of faith? Come on, every person in this place. So since Jesus rebuked the disciples for their lack of faith, let me rebuke you for your lack of faith. You just raised your hand. You just admitted that you've had a lack of faith. But instead of me rebuking you, let's let Jesus and the Word of God rebuke you, because let's be honest. Some people can't handle rebuke from their pastor. Just saying. People have left Crossroads because this pastor rebuked them. But think about it. If you walked away every time someone rebuked you or corrected you, you'd get nowhere. Come on. If you walked away from every time your spouse corrected you or rebuked you, how many divorces would you have? How many times would you be married? Come on, parents, we have to correct and rebuke our children, amen? So that they'll grow up in the admiration of God and so that they'll know the right way to live, right? Let your pastor rebuke you at times. Let your pastor correct you. I got one, amen, praise God. Let's keep going before somebody gets too angry. So Matthew 8:26, Jesus rebuked them. It says, but Jesus reprimanded them. Why are you gripped with fear? Where is your faith? And then he stood and rebuked the storm, saying, be still. And instantly it became perfectly calm. Notice Jesus rebuked the disciples. He rebuked their lack of faith, but he also rebuked what was causing their lack of faith. Praise God. Jesus implied that you and I can rebuke what causes our lack of faith. That we can also command the storms in our life to be still, and they will be still. Jesus said, I give you the authority to do so. He said, speak to your mountains, and they will what? Move, crumble. Not just stay there, not get bigger. They will move. Verse 7, nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. The Voice translation says, despite the taunts. Now, what does that sound like? It sounds like a lot like Goliath, right? Because Goliath taunted David. Remember that? We just walked through several weeks with David and Goliath. I'm sure hearing these words from the Jebusites caused David to remember the words from Goliath. But church, it didn't bring fear. This memory didn't bring fear, it brought faith. Because David remembered the outcome. David remembered that if God did it before, he would and could do it again. David remembered that God was faithful. Because faith remembers. Faith remembers the word of God. Faith remembers the promise, and it holds on to it. And so we can say, in spite of any doubts, or the doubt that the Jebusites were trying to cause David, or fear. They were trying to intimidate David. They were trying to cause him to fear stepping into the promised land. But in spite of all of that, the Bible says, nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion. Up until this point, no one was able to defeat the Jebusites. No one was able to drive out the Jebusites before. Just like no one was able to defeat Goliath. But David did what everyone else was unable to do. And how did he do it? By faith. By faith. This was the promised land. This was the place that Moses spoke of when he said, to that place you must go. This place was located inside the promised land, church, and this was the most important place inside the promised land. This place held the greatest purpose on earth. This is the place, the birthplace of Christianity. This is where Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again. This is the place where the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, and this is the place Jesus will return to on that day. Zechariah 14:4 says that. On that day when Jesus returns, he will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in Jerusalem, the promised land. Let this hit home. Jesus' foot will stand on the promised land. Whew. Man, that spoke to me this week. Jesus' foot will stand on the promised land. You remember the promise that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, and David. Jesus will step down on it. As why? Symbolic. He conquered. He's the conqueror. Remember, David also stepped down on something else in the battle of Goliath. Remember that? He stepped down as a conqueror. It's getting too deep for some of you. So this was the most important place in the promised land. The promised place is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. In 1948, Israel became a nation again. And FYI, in 2017, President Trump recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, overturning nearly seven decades of denial. And church, this was the only place inside the promised land that had not yet been possessed. Now let that hit home. This was the only place inside the promised land that had not yet been possessed. So you can imagine the fight that the devil and all of his demons put up for this place. Jerusalem was a place of promise. It's a place of purpose. Jerusalem was a great city with a great purpose that came with a great fight. I believe there's probably been more bloodshed in Jerusalem than any other city in the world. If not, the most important blood was shed there, Jesus' blood. And believers, you better believe that it's going to take a fight to step into your promised land. A great fight. Because a great promise will always come with and through a great fight. Point number four. The greater the promise, the greater the fight. Turn to your neighbor and say, the greater the promise, the greater the fight. That's why this series is called Boldness. It takes bold believers to step into the promises of God. It takes bold believers to possess the promises of God. But God's message was clear from the very beginning, that the promised land was theirs to take. From the very beginning, that was God's message. The promised land is yours to take. But church, they have to take it by faith. And verse 7 says that David took hold of the city. David took hold of the promise. Or let me say it this way. David took what was promised to him and to Abraham and Isaac and Moses. Joshua. He took it by faith. Everyone, take hold of your promise this morning. And I want you to be real with God for just a moment. This is just you and God time. This is a 7-year promise for me. I don't know how long your promise you've been waiting. How many would say it's been over 10 years? Look around. There's hands all over the sanctuary. How many would say it's longer than 10 years? That's a long, long waiting season. But I encourage you this morning, this word that God gave me was for you to hold on to the promise regardless of how long you've been waiting. Your waiting isn't wasted. A delay isn't a denial. Somewhere, somehow, some way, God will do what he said he would do. Romans 9:5. He will work it out. He will make a way. Because the promise maker is the promise keeper. So I'll go ahead and hold up your promise. Point number 5. The promises of God are yours to take by faith. The promises of God are yours to take by faith. The promised land became known as David's city. Church, it was named David's city because David was the only one that had the faith to take it. Notice it wasn't named Abraham's city. It wasn't named Moses' city. It wasn't named Joshua's city. It was named David's city, because David was the only one that had the faith to step into it. In verse 9, it says that David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the city of David. The Message Bible says that David made the fortress city his home. Now let this hit home. The promised land became David's home. The promised land became his home. He moved his family here. He moved his belongings. He moved his wife and kids. He moved into the promised land and made it his home. Because what you have the faith to believe, you will receive. Where you have the faith to go, you will go. What you have the faith to stand on, you will stand on. Romans 4:21 says, being fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. How many are fully convinced this morning? Come on. If you are fully convinced, I want you to take that piece of paper. I want you to stand to your feet. And it's time to stand on the promise of God. I want you to drop that piece of paper on the ground. Step onto it. Stand on it. I choose to make this my home. I choose to make the promised land my home. I'm going to move into this house by faith. I'm going to stand on this property by faith. I'm moving in. I'm moving my faith in, and I'm moving my doubt out. Come on. Go ahead and move your faith in and move your doubt out. Father, I pray right now over every person in this sanctuary. God, every person viewing online, for those who are standing on a promise by faith. God, we've just read your word this morning. And we're just going to take your word as it says. Whatever we have the faith to believe, we will receive. And so, Father, we're going to stand on the promise of God. We're going to stand on our promised land, whatever it is. Restoration in a marriage, healing in a body, an open door, a position in ministry. Something that was promised or spoken over our life years ago, or maybe it was last week at camp for one of these youth. God, I pray right now that they would receive the promised land by faith, understanding that you are faithful, that the promises come through faith. God, we are fully convinced, we are fully persuaded that you are able, fully able to do all that you promised. And so, Father, right now, I choose to move all doubt out. Move faith in. I'm going to make this my home. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to wait on you to make it happen. And so, Father, right now I pray that you would minister to every doubt that's in this place. God, it would be removed and replaced with faith. Faith is our foundation. We say yes. We say that's right. We stamp amen on the promise of God. By faith we step in. By faith we believe. And therefore we will receive. In your mighty name, God, I pray that you would show yourself faithful to each and every person who has the faith to stand on the promise. Speak right now, God, that still small voice to each and every person in this place. Some way, somewhere, somehow, you will do what you said you will do. We thank you. We honor you. And by faith we utter, amen. 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 I want to take just a moment before we close, and I want you to pick up that piece of paper. And I want you to take your neighbor. Don't give it to them, but hold it out to them. Both of you, do the same and grab. And I want you to pray over your neighbors. Promise right now. Just take a moment to pray. Pray with them, pray over it. When you're done, say amen. Father, you heard each and every prayer that was lifted up. God, from this sanctuary to those viewing online today, and God, we know that you are faithful. And Father, I pray that our faith would honor you and you would honor our faith. And that you, the promise maker, would show yourself the promise keeper. God, as we leave this place today, let us go by faith. Let us have the faith to speak to our mountain, to step into our promised land. And God, this would be a great testimony in the days ahead. We thank you. We honor you. We thank you for your word today. In your mighty name, everyone says, amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. We are praying for you this week. We hope to see you back on Sunday morning. God bless.